I've got several passages of Scripture for you today, and we're going to be in some seldom used passages, and so you may need to look for them. It's Habakkuk, also known as Habakkuk, whatever you want to call it. That's where we're going to be. It's in the Old Testament towards the end. Going to be in Habakkuk, and then we're also going to be in 2 Peter. 2 Peter is near the end of the New Testament, and it's a small passage. It's right after 1 Peter, if you're having trouble with it. 2 Peter is right after 1 Peter. We're going to be in both of these passages today, and I've got a couple of the verses for you, but just to kind of make a few points. We'll also have these on the screen, but today we're all going to wrap up this series, The Waiting Room, and I know for some of you, you've really enjoyed this series, and others of you, while you may have enjoyed it, things are hitting home right now. I've heard it from more than a few people. I'm ready to be done waiting. I'm ready for you to get out of the waiting room. Get us out of the waiting room. I'm tired of the waiting, and I understand that. I do. We're going to try to get us out of the waiting room today, okay? And hopefully, we've got two more Sundays until Christmas. My intentions are to spend the next two Sundays in the book of Isaiah, kind of looking at the prophecies leading up to the coming of the Messiah, which is what Christmas is what we celebrate at Christmas, the coming of Christ. Okay? Habakkuk, chapter 2, got three verses, verses 1 through 3. And it says here, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. Habakkuk is a prophet. He's a leader. And what you need to know is that at this time, the Babylonians were about to come in and take over and carry people off to captivity. And Habakkuk knew that there was some trouble coming. Trouble was brewing. He knew that there was going to be a time when people were going to be very discouraged. And he said to himself, what am I going to tell these people? I know. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. He was going to go out to his meeting place and see what God was going to say to him, what answer he was going to give him to give to his people. Did you know that what you see is determined by where you go? Did you know that? What you see is determined by where you go. If you want to see a live football game, do you go to the theater? No. You go to the football stadium, right? You go to NRG Stadium. I'm getting used to saying that. It used to be Reliant. It used to be the Astrodome. It used to be lots of things. But now we want to go to the NRG Stadium. If that's where we want to go to see the Texans play, that's where we go. If you want to go to a Friday night football game during football season, you go to the local high school stadium if it's a home game. If you go there and there's nobody there, they're playing away somewhere, okay? But what you see is determined by where you go. Take the flip side. There are some places where we should not go. Correct? Would everybody agree that there are places we have no business being? Okay. What you see is determined by where you go. We can take those places and we can go there and we're going to see what we expect when we get there. Trouble is these days, you don't even have to leave the house to go see it. You can go virtually on a computer and go just about anywhere in the world you want to go, right? What you see is determined by where you go. And what Habakkuk was saying is that I want to see God. I want to hear from God. So I'm going to go to where I can meet with him. Where you position yourself determines what you perceive. Habakkuk, he knew that before he could speak for God, he had to see God. In order to do that, he went to where he could do that, where he could. He went to his lookout. And Habakkuk knew that the kingdom of Judah was about to be overtaken by the Babylonians, and he was waiting to hear what God would say next. And I could preach all morning about this, folks. I could preach all morning about how when we want to hear from God, we need to go get alone. We need to go to our lookout. We need to go get a quiet place. We need to go get and seek God's face. I could preach all morning about that, but there's so much more about this passage that I want to teach you and show you. The rest of it. It says, I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give his to his complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. There we are. There we are. We're waiting. Or the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Wait for it. Though it may be lingering, though you may think it's lingering, wait for it. I promise you, it will come. It will come. If you look over into the 2 Peter passage, 2 Peter, we have, you know, they're waiting. The back in the Old Testament, these guys, they're waiting. What's going to happen? We know there's going to be a time of waiting and trials, and we're going to be carried off, and they're waiting. Okay? Now in the New Testament, we find another group of guys. And these guys were Peter's talking to them. They had experienced Christ or heard about him and come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And they knew and they were understood that he was going to come back. And they're waiting. And they're saying, Peter, you told us that this Jesus was coming back. He ain't here. We're waiting. How long are we going to have to wait? Peter addresses it. He says in verse 8 of 2 Peter chapter 3, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He could have just said, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as you bullheaded people are trying to figure out right now, right? He didn't say that. He said it very nicely. As some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Everyone to come to repentance. Pray with me real quick. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the reading of your word, Father. Thank you for how your word is so good to us and good for us. Father, it's my sincere prayer that today somebody is in this room is waiting. And I pray, Father, that they would understand what the wait is for, and that they would begin to move and get active during the wait and not waste it. Speak to us, Father. And as I said earlier this morning, when you speak to us and we hear you, Father, may we be obedient and give you a response. May we respect you and give you a response. In Jesus' name, amen. When I ask my children something and they don't answer, I say, excuse me, did you hear what I said? I expect an answer. And then they'll get real polite with me usually. Yes, sir. No, sir. I don't know, sir. Say it again, sir. My kids know that when I ask a question or I give a command, I expect a response. If I say thank you, I expect them to answer back, well, you're welcome. Right? I expect that. It's a sign of respect. If God is telling you something, oh, friend, you need to respond to it. Last week, I'm going to try to blow through this because there's a lot of material. Really, this could be two more sermons, but we're going to move on. But I got a lot to put in here. Last week, we talked about how sometimes we're waiting on God, but God is waiting on us. Excuse me. God is waiting on us. He's telling us, I've already given you what you need. What are you waiting on me for? Go get your own goat, right? Remember we talked about that? Go get your own goat. What are you waiting for? Sometimes God's waiting on us. But today, I want to talk about those times because there are times when we do wait on God, right? We're waiting on God. And in both these passages we read this morning, we find people who are waiting on God. Waiting on God to make right something that's wrong. Waiting on God to make right this thing that's the deterioration of the nation and we're going to be carried off to captivity. Waiting on God to make right his promise that he would come back, right? That he would return just like he said he would. They're waiting, and they're waiting, and they're waiting. But in the meantime, he said, wait. Remember the Old Testament passage we said? He said, wait for it. Wait for it. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about our trip that Rebecca and I made last summer. we flew to Israel and back. And I got to think about airports. How many of you have ever been to an airport? Was there waiting involved at the airport? Yes or no? Yeah. They tell you to get there a day in advance, it seems like, right? They say you need to be here by this time. And if you're flying international, you need to be here 3-4 hours in advance. And you get there, and you wait in the line. And you wait in the line. You think, oh, my goodness, am I going to make my flight? And you wait. And here's what happened. We were in the line, and they were checking people. And then all of a sudden, the people that were working the counter, they just packed up their stuff and left. They went to the gate because they were checking in the flight ahead of us. They had to get their stuff, go to the gate, and check them in there to get them on the plane. Then they came back and finished checking us in for the next flight. We're waiting. We waited a lot. It's a lot of waiting. It's crowded. It's hectic. And everybody's kind of nervous. But you can't show you're nervous because then the TSA is going to come and say, why are you so nervous? Well, because I'm waiting. Well, you have anything in your bag? Let me see your bag. You have this fear, right? We wait. I've got 3 points for you today. Number one, if you're a note taker and you want to write this down, God's transportation system is operated through hubs and spokes. Hubs and spokes. I hear you. What has that got to do with waiting? Hubs and spokes. You're talking about wagon wheels. What's that? What's up with that? Hubs and spokes. Airports. The airport system uses hubs and spokes. All across the country, there are airports that are called hubs. And you have to fly to that airport to catch a connecting flight to go somewhere else. They use hubs. And they do that so that people from Houston, they'll take people from Houston to Dallas, and people from Kansas to Dallas, people from California to Dallas, people from Canada to Dallas, and they'll gather them all up. They're going to be flying to Mississippi. I don't know. Somewhere. I don't know why you'd want to go to Mississippi, but somebody might. But they'll gather them all up. The people that are headed to a common destination, they'll gather them up. They'll put them on one plane and make a flight. They do that for efficiency, right? And it's more efficient. It's more economical. And they'll do that. That's how they operate. Sometimes we have to fly from Houston to Dallas to go somewhere else. Dallas is a hub. They gather those people. Houston is also a hub. It's a major international airport. One time I flew from Houston, was headed to Virginia. I was doing some disaster relief housing inspections, and I flew from Houston to Virginia by way of New York. Now, Virginia is closer than New York is. But I had to fly to New York to LaGuardia Airport to catch a connecting, I had to fly to that hub to catch a spoke that went to Virginia, okay? Because LaGuardia is a hub in that part of the world over there. Sometimes we get a nonstop flight, but not always. God uses hubs and spokes in the way he moves us through our lives, I believe. Sometimes you don't get a direct flight to your destination. Sometimes he flies you to a hub and you're in a layover and you're waiting. Has anybody ever experienced that? You want to be somewhere, but you're not going even in the right direction. And sometimes it doesn't make sense. You feel like you're going in the wrong direction. Sometimes you have to go north to go south. I've known people that they were flying from New York to Georgia, and to Tennessee, and they had to fly all the way down to Miami or somewhere in Florida or Atlanta to catch a flight to go back up. And you might be thinking, well, I could have just driven and been there before the airplane arrived because I had to fly so far out of the way. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. And sometimes God ordains your travel plans that involve a layover, and it's in the opposite direction from your destination. Lord, I know you're calling me to go here, and I'm getting on the plane, and I know where my destination is. We're going this way. And the plane takes off, and you go this way. And you start saying, Lord, why am I going this way? I'm going left. I want to go right. And the Lord says, I know, but I'm taking you to a hub. We're going to get you on a connecting flight. And it's out of your control, right? God told Habakkuk to wait. Wait for it. Lord, I know that we're your people, and you've promised us that you're going to prosper us, and you're going to bless us, and you want us to inherit this land, and we're going to... And he says, but you're taking us to Babylon. But Lord, Babylon is not... where you said we're to be, and why are you taking us there? And the Lord is saying, just wait for it. Wait for it. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work in you so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Often you have to go through a process to get to the place because there is something God wants you to, or God wants to do in you before you arrive at your destination. That's the pattern. That's the flight plan that God has used time and time again throughout Scripture. Matter of fact, it's the plan that God used to take anybody anywhere worth going all throughout Scripture. I like the alphabet. I like A. Here's why I like A. Because A means the start of something. I get excited at the start of something, don't you? I mean, that diet plan that's coming up on tomorrow, Monday. We're just excited about that, right? Well, let me put it something else. Christmas morning. We like Christmas morning. Yeah. Whatever it is in our lives. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's a new relationship. We look excited because it's the beginning of something. We like A. And sometimes we like Z because it's the completion of something. Maybe it's a project. I know that when I start a project, I'm kind of excited about A. I'm getting started on this project and I'm, you know, messing with sticky, pokey insulation, and I'm just excited about it. And I like Z because it means I'm done with it, and I'm over, and I can look back and look at my project. I like A, I like Z. I'm not a big fan of elemental P. Elemental P means I've been in it a while, and I look ahead, and there's a long while to go. And I'm not a big fan of that. I get impatient. I get excited. I want to be finished. I want to be done with stuff. Just like some of you were saying, I'm ready to be done with the waiting room. Let's get out of there. We have to go through elemental P to get all the way to Z. We must go through something in order to pick up something we need for our destination, for when we get there. Number one, God uses hubs and spokes. Number two, God uses holding patterns. Holding pattern, it's a delay due to something at my destination not being ready. Maybe you're flying into some place and there's heavy weather, heavy fog, ice, snow, rain, hurricane, whatever it is, the ground's shaking, I don't know. But there's a delay, and so they just put you in a holding pattern, and they just fly you around the city, fly you around the airport for a while. You can see it through the window. You can say, Lord, there's my city, my destination is there. I want to get there. Did you know they won't let you out of the airplane until you land? They won't. You're in a holding pattern. You're held captive. You're a hostage in that plane, it seems like. I want to be there. And you're flying me around. I can see it. That's even more frustrating because I can see where I want to be. And I can't get there. How many of you have ever felt like that? Lord, I can see where I want to be. I believe that's where you want me to be. But you're not letting me get there. Why? Because you're in a holding pattern. But I want to tell you this. God doesn't put you in a holding pattern to punish you. It's always to protect you. This passage in 2 Peter verse 9 says, 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He is patient, which may look like slow to us, but it is not slow as some understand slowness. He's preparing you for what he has prepared for you. Sometimes he is preparing for you what he's prepared you for. Sometimes the conditions are not right for landing. So in order to protect you, he puts you in a holding pattern, and it's frustrating, right? I mean, I've been in that situation on the plane, and I could see where I'm supposed to be. And as a matter of fact, I even was angry at the pilot. Pilot, just land the plane. Get me out of this. I'm cramped up. I've been in this plane too long. These seats are too short for me, right? I want to get out of this plane. Land the plane. I've been frustrated and angry at the pilot. But I will tell you this. And sometimes you're late, and maybe you're trying to connect a connecting flight, and you're thinking, I'm going to miss that flight because just because of you dumb old pilot, get me down on the ground. But let me tell you something. I'd rather be Michael Nix late than the late Michael Nix. You know what I mean? I'd rather be late according to my schedule than not arrive at all, not make it at all because the pilot got me down upon my request. You see, we have to trust the pilot knows what he's doing. Maybe you don't have that relationship that you really, 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 really want because God has you in a holding pattern and it's for your protection. Sometimes it's you that God needs to work on, and sometimes it's the other person in that relationship. And God's got you in a holding pattern while he's preparing that situation for you. But nonetheless, he has you in a holding pattern. And let me tell you something. You don't want to get in that relationship until it's ready for you. There's a proverb in the Bible. It says it's better to live on the corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Right? Yeah. When you're in that holding pattern, you're up there, you look down and you see the city. Just know that it's better up here than it is down there. It's better up here than it is down there. We get mad at the pilots instead of thanking them for saving our lives, for protecting us. You see, the pilot has information you don't have. He sees that there's wind shear coming down and we can't land right now because we might have a crash. There's ice on the runway. They're working on it. I don't need to tell everybody about that. They just need to understand that we're just going to be in a holding pattern for a minute while they get us ready for our arrival. Maybe there's other issues. Maybe there's, who knows what going on at the airport. He says, you know what, it's better, safer just right here right now. We're just going to ride this out for a little bit. There's information you don't have. And guess what? Sometimes you don't need all that information. You just need to understand that the pilot has the information. He's looking out for my best interest, and I'm going to trust in him, and he'll get me down there as soon as it's right. And God is the same way, folks. We need to understand that he has information that we don't have, that we may or may not even understand. Maybe we don't even need to know all the details. I don't understand wind shears. I don't understand crosswinds and the acceptable levels of... I don't even know what I'm talking about. I don't understand it. I don't need to understand it. I just need to say, I trust my pilot. He's going to get me down when it's safe and when it's right. In 2 Peter, the folks were getting upset because Jesus had not come back yet. And Peter was telling them, don't be mad at God for being what you think is slow. You see, he has information you just don't have. And you just need to trust that he'll bring him back when the time is right. Number three. Trusting God means crossing the supernatural dateline. Trusting God means crossing the supernatural dateline. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 12 says this, Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, you will never die. The Lord is everlasting. You see, the Lord, he exists outside of time and space. He's much... We don't understand that. We understand time, we understand space, but our God exists even outside of that. An example, kind of stress the point here, when we went to Israel, we would call back to the house and talk to our kids, and we had to call at weird hours of the night or early, early in the morning in order to catch them at home in the evening here in Texas. It was crazy because it was almost time to be waking up and get ready for our day there. We were going to go out on this adventure and see all kinds of great sights on today. And I was calling them, and there here in Texas, it was yesterday, according to us, it was yesterday, and we were finding out how their day had been. How was your day? Oh, we had a good day, or I didn't have a good day. Well, we are going to have a good day because we're about to leave and go out. It was weird. It was strange. And we had to do all this calculation in our head. And then when you're talking about different time zones, but when you're talking about different days, different dates, man, it gets really confusing. Romans 4, the last part of verse 7 says, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things into being that were not. You see, our God exists outside of time and space. He calls things that are happening today as if they already happened, because he's already there. He calls things in his today when we're still in yesterday, and he calls it as if it's already happened. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have loved you with an everlasting love. He's already in tomorrow. He's saying, all this time, I have already loved you. And we're back here in yesterday. And we understand, when he says, I have loved you, that means, now he's not talking about our past, he's talking about our future. He will love us with an everlasting love. Sometimes when it's dark in our life tonight, we need to hear encouragement from God about how bright the sunshine is in our tomorrow. Because God is already there and he already knows. Scripture says that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. There's a waiting period there. There's a waiting period. It's a holding pattern. God doesn't define your tomorrow according to your past. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad of that? He's already in your future working on tomorrow. You may be waiting, but just know that God is at work on the other side of the supernatural dateline in the future. He's already working. Jeremiah 29:11, one of my favorite passages in Scripture, says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but plans to give you a hope and a future. You see, God's already at work in our future. He's preparing for us what he's prepared us for. The wait is hard, but it's not a waste. Don't waste the wait. But I want to give you good news. You don't have to wait to come to Jesus Christ. We already know that that's part of the plan he has for us, to know him. I want you to know, whatever you're waiting on, don't wait to know Christ. Don't wait to come back to Christ. Don't procrastinate. Get busy during the wait. Waiting is tough. Waiting is hard. Nobody likes it. Sometimes we're there because we've messed up and God's got to fix us before we can get to where we're going. Sometimes God is working on where we're going and he just says, you just need to hang out for a little bit. Just wait and I'll let you know when we're ready. We need to trust him and say, Lord, I don't like the wait. But I trust you. And I know that you're either doing this to teach me something or you're doing it to protect me from something, but I will wait. But I'm not going to waste my time while I wait. I'm going to get busy. I'm going to get prepared for where I'm going. I'm going to study what I need to study so that I'll be able to answer questions where I'm going. I'm going to study techniques so that when I get to where I'm going, I know how to do what I'm supposed to do when I get there. I'm not going to waste my wait. I'm going to get busy in the meantime. Remember, we talked about that. We need to turn our waiting room into a work room. The work room is still here today. Maybe God's waiting on you. Maybe you're waiting on God. Nonetheless, let's make use of the waiting time. Let's turn today, this waiting room, into a work room. Some of you need to get busy and deal with God. Some of you need to come to the altar and kneel down and say, Lord, I've been impatient. I've been struggling. I have not liked this waiting. And I've been complaining about it and belly aching and moaning and groaning. But Lord, I'm going to trust in you, because I know you're either trying to teach me something or you're looking out for me. You're trying to protect me from something. Lord, I'm going to trust in you. But I'm not going to waste the wait. I'm not going to let it go to waste. I'm going to get busy. And I'm going to do something in the wait. Maybe you need to come to Christ. I would love to share with you some passages of Scripture, to pray with you, to lead you in a decision that will change your eternity from now on. I would love to do that. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're a guest of ours and it's the first time to come to this church. Maybe you're thinking, I don't even understand what all that's about. I would love to just sit down and have coffee with you or something. We'll have a visit. Maybe you want to join this church. We can do that this morning too. Whatever your deal is today, don't waste the wait. Remember my challenge to you, the very first of our service today? God demands a response. If you've heard him speak to you today, Respond to it. Respond to it within your heart. Walk down here in front of everybody. Let everybody know you heard from God today. Whatever it is, this is your time. We're going to stand. We're going to sing a song. We're not going to be long. But this is your time. I want to challenge you to respond. Lord, help us. Help us to be obedient to you. Help us to give you honor and respect enough to at least give you an answer. Help us to be willing to do business with you. Help us to be willing to come back into a right relationship with you. Father, whatever it takes, maybe that's what you're waiting on from us. But whatever it is, Father, help us to get off of our seat. Help us to get busy, get to be about doing something and not just sitting around. Father, the wait may be over as simple as that. Maybe that's what you're waiting on from us. Maybe we're waiting to hear from you, Father, and you're already speaking. We're just not hearing it. Father, we ask that you, through your powerful, mighty Holy Spirit, Father, we ask that you would have your way and your will in this room today. Change someone's life forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand as we sing and you respond.